Yes, sir. Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo will be joining us momentarily. LZ, Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the LA Chargers, will be our guest here in just a moment. Laura will let us know when he's there, and Greg will let us know when he's there. Greg is in studio. I feel like... Being in studio, are you doing that to feel like you could be?
All right, stop, George. You're trying to blow by the lead. I'm not going to let you do it.
What's that?
Happy mother bleeping birthday, homie.
Well, thank
you.
Happy
birthday, Sedano.
Thank you.
Come on, dog.
I appreciate that.
Come on, man.
I was simply just going to.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I simply was just going to ask Greg how much birthday dancing was there after the video he posted last night.
I may never dance again.
Are you like...
Well, technically, you didn't dance the first time.
Oh, I mean, that's true, man. Too. Oh, man. Is that like your version of Careless Whisper? I'm never going to dance again. Guilty feet have got no rhythm. So, yes, thank you. 43 years young. My wife asked me this morning, how does it feel to be 43? I said, not much different than 42, to be honest with you. However,
well, give it time.
Yeah. Oh, well, listen, 42 didn't feel so great in the sense of like I threw up my back a few weeks ago. You know what I mean? Like I'm getting old. That sucks. You know, it's not fun.
It does suck.
Yeah. Got to do things differently.
Hit me up when you sneeze and throw your back out. Then we'll be brothers.
Well, listen, I threw my back out, and maybe Coach Lynn can help us out with this. Coach Anthony Lynn of the Chargers joining us here now on Sedano and LZ. Coach, I'm 43 today, and I was telling LZ and the guys that, you know, at this stage of my life, past 40, crazy things have happened to me. I throw up my back doing little things like just picking up one of my kids' toys. Like, life is a lot different after 40. Nobody warned me about this, Coach.
Man, I thought 40 was a new 30.
So did I. Somebody lied.
You know who says that stuff? Somebody anyway. Who just turned 40.
Thank you, Coach. I appreciate it. Yeah, but it was somebody who didn't turn 40 who made that up for sure. But anyway, Coach, thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, it is a busy time for you and the team. I guess we'll start here, which is how different, how wild has this whole thing been considering you're dealing with the pandemic, you've got TV cameras around with Hard Knocks. Like, how strange is all of this for you?
Man, it's been exactly what we talked about. But, you know, when you haven't experienced it, going through it, it's crazy. It's every day is different. And we try to prepare everyone for that by saying we're going to have to adapt and change each and every day. But now that we're actually going through the process, it has been exhausting. I'm not going to lie. You know, there's some days where I don't get to work at the end, but I feel like I've been in a 2-a-days or something. But, you know, just dealing with the pandemic, all the protocols, you know, then just coaching a football team. And then this, you know, doing this civil unrest is very, it's some hard times, very emotional. You know, and so it's been a challenge, but you know what? Everybody's going through the same challenge, and someone's going to figure out how to win football games in these situations, and it might as well be us.
Coach, not to make light of the situation, but you yourself contracted the Rona, and I'm just curious as to that timeline, as to, you know, what did you discover, what did you experience? And then, you know, just can you walk us through quickly through that process for yourself to the point where you revealed it to the team?
The reason why I told my team in the first place is because, you know, these protocols that we have are so important. And I believe the team that is the most disciplined with these protocols, they're going to have a competitive advantage. And I just wanted guys to know that you cannot be too careful, you know, and you can't let your guards down, because I took this virus very seriously. You know, I was a guy that my kids made fun of because I had a sanitizer bottle tied to my front belt loop, you know, and wore gloves and masks all the time. And I still got it, you know, and I didn't know I had it until I was watching the Travelers golf event on TV, and one of the golfers after the first day pulled out. He had a hell of a day, and he pulled out. You know, he said he had some back soreness, and he couldn't get comfortable in his bed and felt a little tired. So he just, when he got tested, he was positive, you know. And I was there in Texas, and I was going to see my mother, and I just didn't want to see her until, you know, I wouldn't have the peace of mind to go see her until I got tested. Never in 100 years thought I had it, but I just wanted to be careful. And, yeah, I had it. You know, I did a rapid test, and an hour later, they told me I was positive. And that was, I got to tell you, having this on the road is a whole nother deal too. You know, when you're at home, you can go home and self-quarantine and stay away from people. But when you're on the road, you're not home. I can't go to my mother's. I can't go to my kids. You know, I'm stuck in a hotel room, and I don't come out of the hotel room for 4 days because I don't want to see anyone because I'm worried about who I might infect. And after a while, the general manager called and said, "We didn't clean your room in 4 days, sir." You know, so yeah. So I just, that was so unsettling. So I just got my rental car and I just drove 21 hours straight back to California.
Wow. What was that
you
trip
drove
like?
Nonstop?
Yeah. What was that like, Coach?
Nonstop. I didn't tell no one because I didn't want people trying to talk me out of it, you know, and I knew. You know, people say, "Well, what if you get worse? What if you get sick?" You know, to me, I just had to do something. That was better than doing nothing. And I didn't want to stay on that property anymore. You know, it's you know, nice property there in Dallas, and there was a lot of people there because everyone was using it as a staycation. So I would have felt really bad if I, you know, came in touch with someone there. But I just got in the car and just drove home. I got 4 a.m. in the morning, woke up, and I just drove straight home, man. And I stopped 4 times for gas, and that was it.
Now, not to put your business in the streets, Coach, but you have some really good tequila at your crib that we had an opportunity to partake. Do you have your taste buds back? Can you
absolutely
taste that fine tequila? Okay.
Absolutely. I never lost my taste. I never had a fever. I just had about 3 or 4 days of, like, I feel like I had a bad flu. And I was over it after that, you know. But I never lost my taste, never had a temperature or anything. So that tequila tastes just fine when I got home.
Well, then that's all that matters if that's the case. Coach, what, you know, how would you best describe, as we switch here to football, just the gut punch that is losing Derwin James again?
That's, you can't describe that. You know, we were so excited, you know, to see him out on the field and just the passion that he brings to the game, you know, because, you know, it was hard for him to sit out last year. But to see him, you know, rehab, come back even better shape than he was last year. I mean, this guy, he has 10 abs, you know. You can count everyone on his body. He eats right, you know, he sleeps right. He treats people the right way. I mean, he just does everything right. I'm so impressed with him, you know, as a young man. And for him to have to go through this back-to-back years, it is hard. I'm going to say, yeah, there are no words for it. And, I went to his home, and we just sat down and visited. And that's nothing I can say to make him feel better. And, you know, but time heals everything. And he's a strong human being, and I know he's going to bounce back, and he'll be even better, you know. But just to have another non-contact injury that ends your season, you know, it's hard to deal with right now. You know, I left him with a verse in that, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6. You know, lean not on your understanding, but trust in the Lord in all your ways. And I know that helped me get through a tough time when I had a lot of questions. But you know, people that don't understand how important this game is to DJ, I mean, it's just it was devastating. But he's going to be okay.
Coach, I'm going to do the one thing that coaches hate when the media does, which is parse their language, parse their statements. Your first 4 words, Taylor is our starter. That sounds pretty damn good. It's the next 2 words I'm going to ask you about. Right now. What does that mean?
Wow.
You said it.
You broke it down like that.
He's not doing you any favors, Coach. That's
no,
for sure.
I'm perfectly fine with the first 4 words. You know, he's earned the job. I mean, he was heck of a backup last year. I feel like if we had to go to him last year, we could have had him won games. You know, and this year he's a starter. My experience with him, well, you know, it was very positive. And, you know, he's very familiar with what I want to do right now. And so, no, he is our starter. You know, and that's you know, without a training, without preseason games and everything, yes, you know, the competition wasn't what it could have been. But, you know, we're very comfortable with Tyrod as a starter and leader on this football team.
How, and Coach Anthony Lynn of the Chargers with us here on Sedano and LZ on 710 ESPN, how much easier does the transition, or is the transition with Tyrod Taylor because of your familiarity with him from his days in Buffalo?
Oh, it was much easier than bringing someone in that you hadn't worked with before. But so yeah, it was no doubt it was easier.
What have you learned from your rookie quarterback during this process?
Well, he's a tireless worker. He is sharp, big arm. You know, some of the throws he makes you shake your head in practice. You know, he has that talent, that arm strength that you're looking for. The speed of this game, you know, it's like all rookie quarterbacks who come in here, and the speed of this game is night and day difference. You know, there's a jump when you go from high school to college, but then when you go from college to the NFL, that jump magnifies about 10 times. And, you know, going through it myself, I certainly understand that. You don't want to throw a guy in there before he's ready. You know, he gets beat up by you guys, and then sometimes these young cats, they never recover. And so, you know, we're going to put him on the field when we feel like he's ready to go. You know, we drafted him at 6 for a reason, but right now, you know, that's going to be Tyrod Taylor.
Coach Lynn, how much easier, and everybody's process is different as a head coach, but how much easier is it to have your players relate to you and respect you in the room? And, you know, you've been there now a couple years, right? Simply based on the fact that you understand what they go through on a daily basis. You played in the league for 7 years. How much does that make your job easier?
Yeah, I don't know if it makes my job easier. I do know that when, you know, NFL's a small fraternity, you know, and they know you've been in their shoes. You've been in these training camps. You've had these tour days. Yeah, you've won championships. They understand all that. And yes, you have them initially. But if you don't help them, you know, they'll tune you out like anybody else. So you better figure out a way to help your team improve and help players individually improve, or it doesn't matter who you are, you know, they will tune you out.
How difficult are you anticipated being going into a stadium without any fans?
You know, it's going to be different, because even when you go play on the road and you know, you don't have any fans. Most, you know, you may have a few, but when you go on the road, most of the time it's home field advantage for that team. It's still fans. It's still noise. It's still people cheering. It's still people booing. You know, I know for me as a player, I always feel like I play better in hostile environments. You know, when I feel like my back was against the wall, and all I had was my teammates. You know, that's kind of that geeked me up a little bit. But you don't have any of that. So, you know, I know they say 81% of the people in the world are externally motivated, but I hope the 19%, we can help that 19% with us, because you're going to have to be internally motivated. There's no people.
Yeah. Well,
you got to lean on each other and yourself.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that Joey Bosa is on the right side of that percentage. And let's hope, look, that Patrick Mahomes is not, right? You got to face that guy twice a year, right? Like, I don't care if there's fans or not. What is it going to be like to face that young man as he continues to get better?
You know what? He's a heck of a player, and you know, you don't really stop Patrick, but you got to slow him down enough, you know. But all the one I'm worried about right now is Joe Burrow. You know, that young man is extremely talented and gifted, and you know, without having any preseason games, not having any idea, you know, what they're doing with him, because you can do a lot of things with him. He's not just a pocket passer. This young man is very mobile. He's tough, and so. That's the only quarterback I can think about right now, to be honest with you.
Coach, just real quick, as you know, it is George Sedano's birthday, but it's also Keanu Reeves' birthday today, too. If your life depended on it, who would you trust more, Keanu Reeves as John Wick or Sedano as Sedano?
Hey, man, I got to go with George.
Thank you, Coach. That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
That's my guy, Coach Lynn. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, Keanu Reeves ain't here talking to you. I am. Exactly. You know? So, well, listen, Coach, thank you for the birthday wishes. Thank you for always making time for us. We certainly appreciate it. Glad you're healthy and safe. We will talk to you soon, and best of luck, okay?
My pleasure, guys. Thank you very much. Okay,
all right,
bye-bye.
Take care. There he is, Coach Anthony.
Thanks, Coach.
Lynn. Joining us here on Sedano and LC. Listen, man.
You and John Wick, baby. And John Wick.
I can be in the Matrix reboot if you want me to. You know, I mean, I got all, if you give me all those special effects, I can do what Keanu did.
Oh, Laura says it's Mark Harmon's birthday too.
Oh, look at that. It's a very it's a big birthday day.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I guess there weren't any women born today. It's only celebrity man.
Selma Hayek. Oh, my girl. Latina. Yeah.
Oh.
Fools rush in.
That's not bad.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Is Cat Williams' birthday, too? Oh, hell.
Oh, wow. Brandon holiday. Ingram. Me and B.I. Yeah, that's true. It's on the rundown. Laura is right. She's like, Laura, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, girl.
She puts it on the rundown. I like how I love how you tell people what you just said to us. How you said, why do we not look at the rundown? Say it exactly the way you just said it.
I said, don't y'all look at the rundown.
See, that's why we love you. Because that's what you, LZ and I need. Someone to smack us around a little bit and be like, yo, the hell? I put effort into this damn thing. So anyway, we appreciate. All right, so coming up next, we're going to break for 90 seconds. Mama Momo's going to join us for the rest of the show. We got a lot of basketball to talk about, obviously. We got a game 7. We'll get into that. Who do you trust? Who do you want to see if you're a Lakers fan? Dial it up, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Mama Momo will join us in 90 seconds.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You know, I'm really good. It's like the last. I'm most excellent, dudes.
Here you go.
As the okay. Only person on this radio show right now who has already seen Bill and Ted 3, I can tell you for real that I am most excellent.
Okay, great. It was good.
Yeah, it was good. It was like what I want. It's what you want it to be, right? As a child of the 90s who watched both of those movies before and like thought it was fun and thought, whoa, they're pretty old to be doing a remake of this. How is that going to play? Like, I wasn't sure how it was going to play, but it works. They figured it out. It was good.
Okay, good.
I liked it.
I'm glad because I was a little worried about it. LZ and I were a little worried because Keanu looked – what did you say Keanu looked like, LZ?
Bloated.
Yeah,
he does look
looks a little bloated.
Yeah. They do a good thing with like their daughters. They have like a next generation thing come along with their daughters.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's kind of cool.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm more excited to see that in the New Jack City. I'll tell you that. So
there's a remake of New Jack City coming out.
Wow.
They're rebooting New Jack City. Yeah.
Who's gonna be Nino Brown?
Saw it, my face was. I don't know.
I don't know, man. Wesley Snipes is always going to be Nino Brown to me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Am I my brother's keeper? Now you got to be all PC about it. Am I my brother's or sister's or my performing siblings? You know,
it's true. Yeah.
It's too much, man. It's too much.
That's funny. All right. You know what's not funny? Well, maybe. What? Depends on how you feel. Is okay, tonight's game 7 is not a normal game 7. Because basically, if you are a hot take artist, this is a no-lose scenario. It is a win-win-win all the way around, and I'll explain why. Clearly the best two words in sports, game 7. We have it again. We had a game 7 yesterday. Over 3 million people watched it on ABC, 3.3 to be exact. But what I would say is that you have a guy in Chris Paul right? Who people are like, ah, he's good, but he never gets far enough. You have James Harden, who clearly does not perform well in Game 7s. We've seen those scenarios play out before. We've got a Mike D'Antoni, Daryl Morey situation, right? Where people are like, ah, they're overrated. Morey overrated. D'Antoni overrated. So it's like, if you are a hot take artist or if you are a hater, this is your dream matchup because there is not a losing scenario for you.
You know, it's like watching this series is so, it's like watching this like really bad breakup in slow motion, right? Like,
yeah.
Like Chris Paul's like kind of like too proud to say it directly, but like, you know, he and James Harden have feelings, right? Right? That was the bad breakup. Russell Westbrook kind of had a bad breakup with OKC, even though they left on fairly good terms. He still had to want out of Oklahoma City after all of that. That's not great. And the Rockets literally gave up 2 first-round picks to get rid of Chris Paul.
Right.
So if Chris Paul goes and beats them after they just gave up 2 first-round picks to get rid of him,
right?
Oof, yeah. That is going to sting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see, I think Chris Paul's by the way, already won.
Yeah. Well, Chris Paul has already been like vindicated. Already is that fair?
Yeah, I'll agree with you there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely he has. And, you know, whether they win or lose, you know, tonight's game, the simple fact that he took a team that many assumed was going to be a lottery bottom feeder and forced a game 7 against his former employer. I mean, I know that he's too old and proud for moral victories, but he made that entire franchise sweat. And sometimes that's just as good.
I mean, when Chris was in Houston, I was on that train of thinking he had one of the worst contracts in the league. Like, I will own that. We all thought, no, but who wants to take on that contract? Like, I remember thinking Houston got a steal, that they actually got something for Chris Paul. Like, they didn't have to, like, give up a whole bunch to trade him. And not only has he played great, he's beating them. And I mean, George, I don't know where you landed on it, but I tossed him an MVP vote. I mean, not number one on my list, but he was top. I had him three. Fifth.
I had him third. Yeah, I voted him third. Yeah,
totally justifiable. I mean, just in terms of the way he embraced this challenge of having to go live in Oklahoma City, go back to where he had actually started his NBA career. People forget that, his first years in the league.
Yeah.
He was with the Pelicans, but they had been relocated to Oklahoma City at the time. And he, you know, just embraces that he had to live apart from his family all year, and just, you know, takes that team to become just an all-star again. I mean, remember him dunking in the all-star game?
Yeah.
And that's not something you see somebody do at his age after the amount of miles that have already been put on him. And I just thought the whole way he handled it, the way he elevated that team. And now, man, if we could include everything he's done for the league in terms of, getting the bubble started and back on track, and then saving the bubble last week, that's a whole extra set of MVP votes you can give him.
You know, I would even add in, you know, because I don't know if you noticed or not, Ramona, but I'm not incredibly high on Daryl Morey. Like, I think he's fine, but I think he also has done a great deal of things he's done that makes you want to scratch your head. I would toss in Carmelo Anthony with that as well, to jettison CP3 and Melo, seeing what they both were able to do in the bubble, but even before the bubble, I'm just like going, you know, dude, you keep moving all the pieces around. Maybe it's the piece you refuse to let go that's the issue, and not all the other pieces that's around them.
Momo, let me jump in real quick. Let me ask you this, because my understanding, and you would know way more about this stuff, obviously, is that I feel like the Carmelo thing was more a Mike D'Antoni thing, and I definitely feel like the Chris Paul thing was a James Harden thing. It was Daryl appeasing his people, I think. I'm not saying he wasn't in on it. I'm just saying that I feel like the driving forces for those two individual moves were those two people. Is that fair?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Daryl was the driving force behind the Rockets getting Carmelo Anthony, going to get him, trading for him, because he had recruited him as a free agent a couple of years ago.
Right.
He always believed that Melo could work at that in that stretch four position, that that Chris Boston run so well in Miami. He always believed Melo could do that. And so it's really, he just kind of forced it upon Mike D'Antoni. I mean, there's no way Mike D'Antoni wanted another Carmelo Anthony reunion after what happened in New York, after their experiences in New York together.
I mean, Carmelo got him fired.
I mean, it's just like, and Mike said all the right things, you know, but he was really just going along with that. So I can't imagine. Yeah, that was essentially, it just wasn't working out. I don't think James and CP had Melo's back on that part either, because if they would have felt all that strongly, I think it would have maybe gone a little differently. But yeah, that didn't work out. There's just, you know, the Rockets just have a certain system and beliefs that they've been trying to make work, and it all hinges upon, can James Harden be your best player? Can he be your guy? And I don't know. I mean, he took him to a game seven, but just, you know, kind of fell apart in the end of that game. Can his style, what he does, can he win it? Maybe it's not about the pieces around him, but maybe it's more a referendum on him. I think that's what Houston has to look at this year, depending on this game ends.
That's what I was alluding to, in the sense of, you keep moving all the pieces around, maybe it's the piece you're trying to hold on to that's the issue. And
well, he didn't want the ball, LZ.
He's a fantastic,
like you and I talked about yesterday.
I think James Harden, I think he's a fantastic offensive player, but to Momo's point, can he be your number one guy? I don't think that, Jokic can be the number one guy to lead a championship, and I don't believe that James Harden can be the number one guy to lead to a championship, despite their great play, despite their contract, and despite the way that they're marketed by the mass media. I don't believe they're in that tier of championship building blocks. There are pieces to a championship, but I don't think you build your team around them.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, who do you want to see if you're a Lakers fan tonight? Game 7, Rockets Thunders, 877-710-ESPN. Rockets Thunder, 877-710-ESPN. Coming up next, an NFL player goes Drago on us. I'll explain what that means in just a second. We will be back in 2 minutes. Mama Momo will be hanging out.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cha cha cha. Are we going to do it in Spanish too? Feliz cumpleaños.
What has Kales done for you? What has Kales done for you?
What is she got me a cake. She got a nice bottle of wine for tonight. She's making me one of my favorite meals, chicken parmesan. What else? The kids have relatively not bothered me today. She has handled mostly the children. I feel like it's been a good day for the most part. Yeah. And now we're here having fun. So it has been a good day. By the way, speaking of a good day, streaming September 4th, 2 days from now, Disney's new movie Mulan, available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock their premiere access. LZ, you had an interesting question before the show, which is what Disney movie should get the next live action treatment? We've seen The Lion King. Now we're getting Mulan. Where should they go next?
They should go Coco.
Ooh.
Now it's time for Coco.
Yeah, I like
that. I know it's young.
Yeah.
You know, but I think we need that kind of warmth right now.
Yeah. And by the way, while we're at it,
the world can use that.
If we're going to do Coco, can we also, you know, since we're making a plea for the Hispanic community, can we also get just a month for Hispanic Heritage, not like 2 weeks in September and 2 weeks in October?
That's all you get?
Yeah, you get 2 weeks in September and two weeks in October. It's still a month, but it's actually spread out from like September 15th to October 15th.
How does that work?
Can we just get September?
No, you know what? I'm going to help you out, George.
Okay.
We have we got a committee meeting coming up next week. We used to meet in person, but now it's all over Zoom.
Right.
I'm going to propose to the committee that we do a trade. You guys get messed up February, but you can have the entire month.
Right.
It's February.
Right.
And we'll take your broken up full month.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Oh, wow.
Why is February so messed up? I don't understand.
You only get 28 days.
Well, you get 28 days. Yeah, but I'd rather have 28
days and
in a 1 month.
No, but see, it's 28 days, and they made it February so we wouldn't march in the streets. So see, it was
cold.
A double whammy. You got to watch them, George. You got to watch. Cold. Too cold. Got to watch them, George.
That's funny. I started looking up like September, and I feel like there should be no reason that Hispanic Heritage Month should not be the entire month of September.
So what's in the first 2 weeks in September? Anything? Is it just vacant?
I don't know. Hold on.
It's
Let me see.
Labor
Are we supposed
Day.
To be celebrating
I mean,
something?
It's Labor Day. I think that's probably why, and it's like back to school. So probably like
Mexican Independence is also in September, right?
What day?
Laura, what day is it? Oh, okay, I can look it up. But it's in September. You know there's a lot of Latino countries that have their Independence Day in September. A bunch of them.
So and Jews we have our Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is usually sometime in September, October-ish, but it moves around a lot.
Yeah, September 16th is Mexican Independence Day. So there you go.
I wonder why you didn't get the full month. That's kind of
weird.
That's
right?
Kind of weird.
Is it based on the lunar calendar?
Yeah.
It might be. You never know. But
it feels like an end cap purchase. You know what those are?
What's
when
that?
When you're standing in line, end caps are the stuff they put on the end of the little cash out line. You get ready to cash out of a grocery store and you grab stuff the last minute. Did they throw in, make you guys like an end-cap month?
They're like, damn, that's right. We forgot. We gotta hook them up.
Exactly.
Yeah, it does feel that way. Momo, is there a live-action movie or Disney movie should get the live-action treatment next, in your opinion?
Disney movie that should get... I mean, you could go Toy Story, right? Like, that would work. I don't know if... I don't think the Little Mermaid would work. Right, I don't think you could
They've
pull that off.
They've already done that with Tom Hanks already. Yeah,
they did live action with Little Mermaid.
No, not Little Mermaid.
It wasn't Little Mermaid. But
they did Splash.
Right.
Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
In the 80s.
Can I already do that?
Yeah.
Starfish and Coffee, which is a great Prince song, by the way.
Yes.
said live action Ratatouille.
Ratatouille. Okay. I mean, I don't know about the live action. I like animated things. You know, like I saw the Lion King live action. That was okay. But, you know, I just like
it. Was just okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
But Mulan looks hyped as hell.
Yeah,
Mulan looks cool. Fantastic.
It does look great. Not so great is the look for Kirk Cousins. So have you guys seen this story about Kirk Cousins? So he did the Kyle Brandt podcast. I think it's for The Ringer. I believe so. And basically, he was asked about the coronavirus. And it was on Spotify's 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, which I believe is a Ringer podcast. And he was asked the question about the coronavirus in the 10 questions. And basically, what he said was that it was survival of the fittest. Everyone's entitled to their own approach, you know, but he's at peace with it. And if he dies, he dies. And I was like, yo, and he kind of made this comment about masks too, which was kind of whack. And look, man, the one thing I feel like about this stuff is the science is the science. Like, we shouldn't be sitting here, you know, arguing about science, okay? And I do feel like it's kind of selfish, right, for a guy. And I know that from a football perspective, football fans probably eat this up and be like, yeah, that's my quarterback. He's willing to die on the field if he has to. But I look at it as it's selfish because, yeah, man, what about everyone else who's around you? What about your family, dude? You got like a wife and kids. Like, what do you mean if you die, you die? Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, people get all brave about this thing. And it's like... Or you could just wear a mask,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Like, or you could just not get it.
He does wear a mask. You know, like I know the headline makes it sound
really
bad.
And but
he said that he does wear a mask,
but only out of consideration, but not people. because he believes it actually works.
Right, but out of respect for other people, which is fine. I actually thought it was more egregious that he wanted to spend money to have Creed play for him than the comments about the mask.
So
the idea that he investigated He wanted to book Creed for a private party. That, to me, is way more offensive.
Yeah, it's been a long time since Creed has been actually good, so I would agree with you, LZ. That is fairly offensive, too. He did clarify his comments by saying, what I was trying to say back then, admittedly, I probably wasn't as clear as I would have liked to have been, but what I wanted to say then was what I would echo again now is that while the virus does not give me a great amount of personal fear, there's still great reason for me to engage in wearing a mask. He cleared it up on the back end.
Stop.
And social distancing and wash my hands frequently as I can. I'm following protocols that have been set in place, obviously to be respectful and considerate of other people, which is very important, but then also to be available for all 16 games this fall, because as the protocol is set up, if a player were to test positive, they would be potentially out of a game or games.
Look, I mean, I think it's one of these things that this is why young people think it's okay to go to college and just go to parties, etc. Because, like, I think there's this sense of, like, if I die, I die. You know, I got to live my life, right? Like, and they kind of know that they're not in that age group that's very likely to die from this.
Like, right.
Yeah, some people get really unlucky and get a weird complication, or they have some pre-existing condition they didn't realize. But, you know, most young people who get this are going to be fine, right? But I think it's more a fatigue. Like, we're all kind of to the stage where we're, like, over this already. We're like, oh, okay, this quarantine thing, you know, ready for this to be over, right? Like, everybody's a little, like, we've been at this for, what, 5-6 months now? And you get a little, like, you're just annoyed that this is still our lives and this is still our reality. And I think young people have the luxury of saying things like that. But the problem with this virus is, like, the virus doesn't care if you're tired of it. Like, you're still going to get sick if you don't take it seriously. And I think it's just a bad example to set for everybody listening, because this is what we need to worry about coming back to the fall, all the school's coming back.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you wholeheartedly. But he went Drago. If he dies, he dies.
I know.
You know, from, like, Rocky IV.
I die.
Except he did a reverse Drago. He did it on himself instead of on Apollo. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it's very, very strange. All right, coming up next, are the Clippers the bubble villains?
Yes.
Laura clearly already has a take ready for this segment. We will have that for you in a minute.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. It's Momo Day. It's booty day.
Do you think I can still rock out to this when I'm 46? What do you think?
Yeah, why not? What the hell?
You guys are laughing at me. I think 46 is your next significant birthday, because once you hit 45, you're no longer in your early 40s. Like, you keep holding on to those early 40s. But then once you pass 46, then you're like, ooh, closer to 50.
So I am not a birthday person, because my birthday, generally as a kid growing up, was always around Labor Day.
Yeah.
So it was just like, you know, people on vacation or whatever. So it was usually just like a small thing with, like, my neighbors and stuff, like the kids that grew up in my neighborhood. Just, you know, we didn't have a lot of money back then, so we didn't have to, like, you know, vacations were literally for the summer, not like Labor Day. It'd be like, yo, dad's got to work on Labor Day, so we got to deal with it. You want to do something, you're doing it at the house. So my thing is, like, I told my wife, I said, I do want to do, like, a big birthday for 50, because I do feel like 50 is a big milestone.
Yeah.
Now, clearly I'm 7 years away still, but I want to do something wild, like go to, like, a destination, like, do, like, an island wedding, not wedding, an island party somewhere, like, in, like, the Dominican Republic or Bali or something.
Yeah. But then
plans already made.
What's that?
I got my 50 year old plans already made.
What's that?
First of all, well, in the months leading up to my 50th, I'm cutting out all alcohol.
Oh.
I'm getting super shredded, and I'm taking a bunch of nudes. Bunch of new photos.
Yeah.
I'm going to get, like, in the best shape I possibly can, and then just memorialize, you know, my accomplishment. And then I'm going back to Africa. Literally. Going back to where my people came from. That's the plan.
And what are you going to do? That's like a whole continent. Like, what are you going to...
No, you know, the 23andMe chromosome test, specifically which region of the continent that my family originated from, and I'm going to go and visit.
So I have a 23andMe pack. I haven't sent it in. I've been meaning to do that. I've had it for a while. Have you done it, LZ?
I haven't done it yet. That's the whole thing. Like, I've traveled internationally like a lot, but I've always wanted to save going back to the motherland until I knew exactly where, you know, my family originated from, because that was the country I wanted to go to. And I wanted to be like, what's up, auntie? Or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Find some family members or something. Hey, you guys remember me? We were like snatched like 5 years ago. It's been so long. How are you? Or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the plan.
Laura just texted me. Go ahead, Laura. Tell people where you think I should go.
Punta Cana. I've been there.
In the Dominican Republic. I have been there. One of my friends got married there in a destination wedding many, many years ago.
Nice.
And I'm all in on something like that. It's also very cheap, to be honest with you, to go to the Dominican Republic.
It is.
But I will say the prostitution is very aggressive, so be careful.
It is aggressive, yes.
It's aggressive. Like, they went after my son, who at the time I think might have been like 13. I was like, dang. Yo, the price you're saying is way too high for a 13-year-old. How dare
you? It is. You know, the Latin American countries, different rules is what I would say. Different rules.
I like that. Different rules.
Different rules, for sure. All right. So are the Clippers the bubble villains? Marcus Morris fined $35,000. Luka Doncic fined $15,000 for his altercation with each other, obviously. But between the Morris stuff, which seemed like it was a lot, with Pat Beverly not even playing in games, jawing with everyone. LZ, we'll start with you. Are the Clippers the bubble villains right now?
No. I don't think there's a villain team in the bubble. I don't think there's a team there that has enough hate among NBA basketball fans to want them to be villains. You know, in order to be a villain, you got to have like enough people who are basketball fans that talk about you and hate you. And I don't think the Clippers have that. You know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I don't think particularly, when you talk about what?
I mean, he's not wrong about that part.
That is like so cold, LZ. You're like, they don't even care enough about them to hate them. Like, I mean, that's like...
Well, I mean, because think about the villains that we do know. Their level of hate resonated way beyond the regions where their teams are based.
True. Yeah, I don't think
the Clippers are hated like that.
Yeah, listen, I think LZ's right to an extent, right? Like, I covered the team that I think was the biggest villain in recent memory, okay? When LeBron left Cleveland after the decision, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen hate like that, okay? That game in Cleveland, I don't think I will ever see anything that resembles like that at a professional sporting event. The signs, the ones that made television were tame, okay? I saw ones that were taken away that were way worse.
Yeah.
They threw batteries at their bench. I mean, it was like being in the seventh level of hell.
Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma City, game where Kevin Durant came back. That was a big one. And everybody wore the cupcake things. And I saw these dudes outside. These dudes literally showed up to the game with a giant python, like, to be like, he's a snake. And I'm like, they're not going to let you bring the snake in the arena. Like,
yeah, dude, sorry. No live snakes in the arena. Yes.
Live snake. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Wow.
But that was intense. And you know who else is like, who? I think the way you achieve villain status is not by getting like fined or ejected. It's by doing like the Zaza Pachulia on Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how you achieve like true villain status. Like, you're like, if Marcus Morris would have like actually hurt Doncic.
Right.
Like, if Doncic was like out for a while, that would have been villain status. But in the first round where like Doncic was fine, you know, I don't know. You don't quite get there.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
LZ, Pachulia was a villain for a while, George.
Yeah, he was. He was for sure. Yeah. But beloved by his fan base for it, you know, for a number of reasons. LZ, let's open it up to the phones. 877-710-ESPN. I feel like the audience here will have some thoughts on, are the Clippers the bubble villains? Do they not have enough? How would you surmise your last take about the Clippers?
In order to really be a villain, you need to resonate throughout NBA culture without basketball culture. Like, people playing pickup basketball would just say your name and say they hate you.
Right.
I don't think, you know, they have that.
Okay, we'll open it up. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Coming up next, what you need to know, and, of course, Game 7, Rockets Thunder. Call us up. Who you got? Why do you got them? Why do you want them? And we have a specific Game 7 question that I'm going to get to in just a moment. Momo hanging out today on a Wednesday. Sedano and LZ back in 2 minutes.